We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Are they going to be better off with Jared Stidham, Tom Brady, Philip Rivers, Cam Newton, Andy Dalton?
Yeah, I mean, I just can't imagine that happening. Come on, he's like an adopted son of Mr. Kraft.
I'm secure for this year, I think.
Dale Arnold.
Nah, that's my guy. That's all I love right there. Kelly's my guy. K-Doggy.
I'm not saying we're like all hunky-dory and everything.
Rich Keith.
Big bone.
The uglies and the fats.
I want my cheeseburgers. Well, at least give me a lightsaber.
Dale and Keith, middays.
If it don't apply, let it fly, brother.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I should have called foul on the whole lifesaver thing. That was not going to tip the scale for that particular person.
Yeah, but I guess is there a lot of sugar in a lifesaver, maybe?
Wouldn't you have to eat like 1,000 of them to
What do you think he did?
Get over
what do you think that guy's problem was?
By the way, our congratulations to Peloton, who basically said, pound sand. We're putting the commercial back out there. We like it. We're standing by it. Good for them.
Oh, they're probably moving a lot of products here at the holiday season. I think it's become a
steep price for a Christmas gift, but
it is.
You know.
Yeah, for a gag gift.
The guy who buys the Lexus for his wife is the same guy who's buying the Peloton.
Yeah, throw
probably.
The Peloton on the back of the Lexus.
You put it in the back.
Yeah, why not?
No, they've come out four square in support of the creative.
And for sure.
I've seen the commercial back on TV again. Mm-hmm. Good for them.
Oh, yeah, why not?
It cost them $940 million, but, you know, you'll make it up.
They'll get it back. They'll get it back on the other end, Dale. I don't feel bad for Peloton.
Now, I heard Greg Hill say that the young lady, the wife in the Peloton commercial is from Boston.
Really?
And I guess
she's
a Peloton instructor.
Oh,
which
so of course you'd like Peloton.
Sense.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
I'm pretty sure I heard Greg or somebody on Greg's show say that she was a Boston girl.
She's local. How about that?
Shine,
you want to get her in studio? Have her do some
get some bikes
some
in here. Get some bikes in here.
Yeah,
and
let's do
just
it.
Start ripping
teach a class?
It.
I've never
could
taken
probably a, teach me a thing or two. I could lose some pounds.
I think we'd all be dead. In
I've
about
never taken a
eight
spin
minutes.
Class.
I took spin in college, and I can say I love it.
Love spin.
It was very fun. Very fun.
Certain fun fact about John Anderson: love spin.
Certain instructors don't time the workouts to the music, and
that's
that sucks. But the ones that do, that
there
I put
go.
The time in to work on the beats and everything, it's amazing.
It's a lot of pedaling, though, isn't it?
Yes, but it's not as much.
Sort of the idea.
Yeah, I feel like it's a lot. Of
it's not as bad as you think it is. I went in one day without having done cardio for like 3 years. And it was fine.
I would rather bike a lot than run a lot. That's for
that's
darn
definitely
sure.
true. Yeah,
they have a spin. They have several
boating?
Spin classes.
Like
yeah, that too. They have spin classes at the gym I go to, and I see them in there.
You ever get in there? Take part?
No.
What's that?
They look like they will hurt me.
Do you not have the spandex
one as a show?
That you need?
Huh? What's that?
No, I'm not doing
so
that.
So we'll take one as a show.
No.
You know
content?
You know who teaches?
No.
You know who teaches some
Glenn
of the spin
Ordway?
Classes at our gym?
Who's that?
Matthew Slater's wife.
How about that? Small world.
Seen him in there a few times. And he actually, on the bye week one time, last year on the bye week, he was in there taking a spinning class.
Yeah, you got to stay
that
loose.
That his wife was
teaching. I bet she sinks it with the music.
I bet he could teach one, too. He looks like he's in great shape.
Yeah, he's in pretty good shape, I would say.
Well, it was really funny because thank you, Shime. He was in a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking, and I saying hello, and he had come to pick up his wife after her spinning class.
Yeah.
And he's walking through afterwards, and I realized nobody in here knows who he is.
No clue.
They
have no clue.
He's the normal-sized human being.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Very, very normal-sized. Very unassuming. You'd walk right by him. Never think that he's a, like, 8-time Pro Bowl football player.
Yeah. Potential future Hall of Famer.
Right.
Although, probably not a great chance, but...
Hey, if Steve Tasker's a finalist or a semifinalist or whatever he is, I think Slater will probably get that far in the process, but maybe that's about it.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Max up in Maine. Hey, Mac.
Mac.
Hello.
Hi, what's
Mac.
Up?
Yeah.
Hey.
Am I on there right now?
You're on now with Dale and Keefe, WEEI.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm so glad to get on there.
Good.
I got to tell you that I have to preface this. I'm not the casual fan. And April of 2018, when I watched that draft,
Yeah.
And the Patriots let this Jackson guy go because they had the 26th and 31st pick. And the ironic thing is going to be if Jackson has run for more yards than the guy that they grabbed.
I know. That's a good point.
No, hold up.
Oh, you're right.
I'm loving it. Go ahead.
I took this as serious to me. The worst thing I've seen, well, I wasn't around in 1920.
The
Babe Ruth thing goes to the Yankees. This guy, if this Jackson turns out to be anything like he looks right now, they could have had this kid for the next 12 years, okay? And I really had a hard time believing they actually passed up on him twice.
That's actually hilarious.
Well, it's funny because pre-draft, I was saying, you know, I'd love to see them take this Lamar Jackson at the end of the first round.
Right, right.
They had him in here for a visit. And I'm thinking, okay, there's a chance.
I'm like, wow, that is so different.
And they did have, you know, an opportunity.
And they had two. You know, they took the tackle at 23. They took Sony Michel at 31. As it stands right now, forget about the season. For their careers, who do you think has more rushing yards, Lamar Jackson or Sony Michel? The answer would be Lamar Jackson.
Oh, boy.
He has more rushing yards, and he didn't even take over last year until what, week six or whatever it was? Flacco was the starting quarterback last year. And so Lamar Jackson already has more rushing yards. Who will have more rushing yards for their career, Lamar Jackson or Sony Michel?
Probably Lamar Jackson.
I think it might be Lamar Jackson. And I forget who said it. It might have been Ben Volen. I forget where I heard this. And it was actually a really good point. We talked about earlier how the guy who replaces Tom Brady is in a real lose-lose situation.
Or like, the guy who replaces Belichick.
Right.
Someday.
It's just like you're going to be looking at this guy and be like, well, the last quarterback, you know, won six Super Bowls and three MVPs. But they said that if it was Lamar Jackson replacing Tom Brady, the comparisons wouldn't really be like automatically. It's just such a different way of playing the position that you wouldn't analyze it the same way. Whereas if Jared Stidham, I mean, everybody's going to be a little bit more mobile than Brady, but they're not necessarily run first guys. So the next guy that comes in here, what are you going to do? You're going to do the same thing, throw the ball 35 times and all that stuff. And then it's a lot easier to compare him straight up to Brady. But if you have a quarterback who rushes for 1,000 yards, already he walks in with one skill set significantly better than the guy who was the greatest of all time. And I'm like, oh, that's actually pretty interesting. If you go the complete other way, I think in a weird way, there might even be less pressure on the guy who replaces Brady.
All right, so we have our first practice report, the media portion of practice. Like yesterday, no Byron Cowart, no Ted Karras, and no place kicker. It's Thursday.
It's Thursday, so
and
that means
they
you got
don't
time.
Have a place kicker.
Well, the game's not till 4:25 on Sunday.
So you got a little time.
Get a guy in here Sunday afternoon, maybe Saturday, beat the trap. You try to bring him in here now.
Got about 75 hours to get this done.
Like, do they know? The reason why I'm concerned that they may not know what they're doing is because they did try to put a claim in on the guy who got cut that was backing up Robbie Gould when he got hurt with the Niners.
Yep.
And they didn't get him. So that feels like he kind of wanted a kicker there. So what's next? You're not. Don't bring Mike Nugent back. Don't bring Cobra Kai back.
Well, if Nick Folk can't come back,
then what do you
then
do?
I have no idea what you do.
Young-Wei Koo is he's on a roster. He was the guy that was
on
the practice
squad
for a minute, and he's gone. He's kicking well. So I don't. It's a bizarre spot to be in. Either way, there's a chance they could have their fifth kicker of the season. Five kickers. They had three in like a 25-year run.
Yeah.
And now you're going to have five
and
in a
all
season?
Of them were freaking awesome.
Yeah, both. Shane Graham for half a season, and then you had Gostkowski and Vinatieri.
By the way, speaking of Matthew Slater, Ryan Hannibal tweets out, Matthew Slater is one of eight finalists for the Art Rooney Sportsmanship Award. First time he's made it as a finalist. The winner will be announced the Saturday before the Super Bowl. I can't imagine that he wasn't a finalist before now.
Yeah, it seems kind of odd. He got overlooked there, I would imagine.
Because, I mean, the times that we've dealt with him, could there be a nicer guy? Is there anybody in football who is more universally liked than him?
Tebow.
He's not in football.
Antonio Brown.
But they love him at the minor league baseball level.
Mm-hmm.
Mike's in Framingham. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. How you doing? I came in the tail end of you talking about Tua earlier. These quarterbacks or any position that gets mad when they get drafted later on, you think it'd be like a godsend because you end up going to a better team.
Yeah, but the higher you get picked, the more money you make.
No, I understand that. But so he takes, and I don't know how the math works really, because if he takes a year off and goes back to college, is he going to more than make up for that money when he comes back?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he's getting paid pretty good at Alabama.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's no salary cap there.
Right, exactly. Save and get whoever he wants.
You got a point.
Yeah, it's a good question. And I don't know where, like, I'm sure what they'll do is as they get closer and closer to the draft, before they have to decide whether he's going to, you know, jump into it or not, see where he might go, see what the stock is, where he's going to go. I mean, Mike's overall point, yeah, quarterbacks that get picked so high usually are on these trash teams, and it's really tough for them to turn around. You look at a guy like Lamar Jackson, picked 32 overall, was the Baltimore Ravens who jumped back in there to get him, and that team at least had a coach. That team at least had, you know, some players, and they were able to, you know, be pretty good pretty quick. Other guys aren't as fortunate.
Do you think during practice they let Jake Bailey kick extra points and stuff?
Yeah, but who holds it for him? Because he can't hold it for himself.
I mean,
you can hold it with a T, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, maybe he does, maybe he just sets him up. And they probably say, listen, get some punts in.
They have They have contingency plans for everything. They've probably got a plan. Well, if the kicker goes down, Jake, you're going to be doing the extra points.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So-and-so, you're going to come in
Stidham
and hold.
Probably hold
you know, and so they probably practice it anyway.
Yeah, but I bet he's had a few cracks at it. But he didn't even do it in college. It's not like... Like, I think, you know, Pat McAfee...
His kickoffs, by the way, look great.
He's doing a great job on that. I wouldn't be shocked if he could do it, but he didn't even do it at the college level. Like, Pat McAfee, you remember, who's doing a great job now at ESPN. So he was a Pro Bowl punter, but when he was at, I want to say he was at West Virginia, like, he also kicked. So he did both. Now, when he got to the pros, all he did was punt.
Right.
But you were like, oh, that guy could theoretically also kick for you, because we saw him do it in college games.
Maybe Bill will just say, you know what? We don't need a kicker. Jake, you'll kick off. Every time we score, we're going for two.
I would love that. It's like, can I kick? like Oregon for a while.
Yeah.
Like under Chip Kelly, I feel like they went for two every single time.
Failed kind of miserably out in Oregon.
No, Oregon didn't.
No, I'm
no,
just
Chip
saying
was
the,
great whole,
the idea of it is.
Oh, going for two, you
yeah,
mean? Yeah. Yeah. Remember, Pittsburgh even flirted with that a couple of years ago because their kicker wasn't doing very well. And Tomlin, I think, would go for two all the time.
Maybe that's what he'll do. Wouldn't that be something?
That'd be great.
If Sunday they say, you know, we got Jake here to kick off, but every time we score, line it up, we're going for two.
But the problem is, this team...
They can't run.
Not only can they not run, but their red zone offense is so poor.
Yeah.
So when it's 4th and 7 from the 20, you going for it? Or normally you could kick a 37-yard field goal and at least get on the board. Like, they need to have that. Look at some of the field goals that Nick Folk had this season, like inside of 30 yards. Now, that's not ideal, but at least you're walking away with points. And if you're only going for it, I mean, that could play right into Kansas City's hands.
617-779-7937. Richard's in Rhode Island. Hey, Richard.
Hey, guys. So I'm going crazy over here driving in my car. Everybody's calling and they want to get rid of Mr. Thomas Brady. Are you kidding me?
I don't know anybody who wants to. I don't know anybody who wants to.
1 second, brother. Get the guy an offensive line, like a New Orleans offensive line, a Dallas Cowboys offensive line, the Oakland Raiders offensive line.
It's a little late in the year for that.
Weapon.
Yeah. They tried, too. They drafted a guy in the first round.
Yeah. Their offensive line's terrible. They're 19th in the league.
Yeah, they drafted a guy in the first round last year, so, I mean, you're saying they need to try. They did.
They need to make moves to get him a line and another weapon. They get him a better line and another weapon, and you let Mr. Brady sit back there in the pocket. He will pick apart any team. I'm sick of hearing about the defense. The defense is average. They played two good offensive teams all year. The Ravens and the Houston. The Ravens put 37 on the board against them, and the Houston Texans put 28 on the board against them. Okay, so they shut out the Jets and the Bills and who else? Miami. I mean, come on. It's not Brady. It's unbelievable. He's got Brady is the myth, the man, and the legend. I'll let you guys talk about it. Thanks for your time.
Thank
you guys
you.
Have a great day. Go Patriots.
Thanks for letting us talk about
look,
it.
Look, we all think he is a legend as well. We think
no.
He's the greatest to ever live.
It's just realistic that he could be gone.
Well, A, it's realistic he could be gone because he's an unrestricted free agent and they can't even franchise him to ensure that they keep him. But two, it's okay to say that his play has slipped a little
bit. Yeah, he's
this
not
year.
As good as he used to be.
He's still Simple good. As, he's still really
well,
good.
Well, he was great. He was the best of all time.
Right.
So you can drop down and still be a guy that you can win with. And I also think the bigger issue would be receivers and tight ends. The offensive line, if you think about it, first round pick in Isaiah Wynn. Joe Tooney was what, a second round pick. Shaq Mason was a middle round pick, but is one of the highest paid guards. They're not great this year, but last year was the same guys that were, you know, run the ball in the playoffs. Marcus Cannon has been up and down in his career, but at one point was second team all pro right tackle. And you started the year with David Andrews. So he got hurt. That's kind of out of your hands. How many teams have these great backup centers, right? Like, that's not realistic. So they went into the year at least investing pretty good in the offensive line. If you have issues with tight end and receiver, I'm all there with you. But the offensive line, like, they're not playing very well, but what do you want them to do? Who are they going out there to get right now? Who are they making? Were they supposed to make a trade at the deadline for another lineman?
Now, when Chip Kelly was going for two for everything out in Oregon, right?
Yes.
So it's fourth and six, and you've got a chip shot field goal. You got a 23-yard field goal. Fourth and six, you're going for it?
No. They would go for two after they scored a touchdown. Right. So they had a kicker and everything. But so it was
in the Patriots' case, if they didn't have a kicker. If it's fourth and six and a 23-yard field goal.
No, that's dumb. But I'm saying I think it was like the nerds got involved and they were like, well, if you make this number of 2-point conversions, like the percentage is this, and then your percentage of extra points, and then it's, I don't know, they just got involved and they thought they should go for two every time.
617-779-7937. Steve's in Rhode Island. Hey, Steve.
Hey, hi guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah. Sure.
Just want to raise a couple of questions, and, you know, nobody has talked about this yet. The biggest thorn in Belichick's side is what? It was Brady. Look what Brady did. He stopped him from keeping Garoppolo. They got rid of Garoppolo. You think Belichick is going to forget that? No way. So what does he do?
Yeah, but Steve, let me stop you real quick. Like, you say he's a thorn in his side. It cost them. So they got rid of Garoppolo, then they went to a Super Bowl, and then they won a Super Bowl. So
yeah, I'm not saying what they accomplished. All I'm saying is,
he's not the thorn in his side.
The thorn in the side would be if Brady sucked and then like retired or something, or was just bad, and Garoppolo was lighting the world on fire. Brady, after they traded Garoppolo, brought a team to a Super Bowl, threw for over 500 yards in a loss, and then won a Super Bowl the next year, and then is playing this year on a 10-2 team. So I don't.
Well, the problem I'm raising is that why didn't they shore up the offense? They had the off year to do it. They got rid of better running backs than they got now. They don't use White the way they're making these calls now. They're using Michelle. What happened to White? They keep him on the bench. White did better than he did last year. Am I right or wrong?
White was. He's actually still pretty productive this year.
I mean,
they kind of iced him a little bit last
weekend
year.
Weekend was the
too.
First time. Where all of a sudden his offensive snap count spiked. Yeah. Went to like 70% of the offensive snaps, and most of that came in the fourth quarter. When it was obvious, they just said, you know what, Sony, you go sit over there. James, you come on out here.
Right.
And in some respects, you could call it garbage time. Some of the rushing yards that he got late, you know, where at that point, all the Texans are doing is you know, nothing cheap and nothing deep sort of thing.
Yeah. But, I mean, James White's still having a pretty good season, and there were times last year where he didn't look like he was a huge part of the game plan, right? I mean, the last couple of years we've been talking to him every Monday, and you're like, all right, well, here's a game where he has you know, a bunch of catches and a bunch of targets, and then here's a game where he's not as big a part of the offense, and you just never really know from week to week what it's going to be. I mean, look, even last year in the Super Bowl, so here's a guy who had one of the great Super Bowl performances of all time, right? Like, or just the, you know, record for catches and all that stuff. The Super Bowl last year, he had one catch and two carries, you know, but the week before that, he had six carries and four catches. So, I mean, this year is not new, I don't think, when it comes to the usage of James White.
Now, I I'm not blaming when I point this out, but I will say that the timing of Gronkowski's announcement last spring that he was going to retire probably did have some effect on what they were going to be able to put for weapons around him. Now, they tried. They thought, you know, that they had made a real good run at a tight end, but he didn't know if Gronk was going to be here or not, so he decided to go somewhere else. If Gronk had announced his retirement earlier, would that have changed the decision for...
For what?
Who was the guy, the tight end they were trying
Jared
to...
Cook.
Jared Cook.
Maybe,
would Jared Cook have said,
Jared
Cook. Gronk's gone? Okay, yeah, I'll come in and get all those touches.
Maybe. I mean, maybe you get Jared Cook. I mean, he ended up going to the Saints, which is a pretty good place to go to anyway. So if it was down to those two, maybe he still would have pick going to New Orleans than here. No, I don't. I would blame the Patriots if anything on the Gronk front. But to address the receivers, they did take one in the first round, which they've never ever done before.
Nope.
So they tried taking a
then
shot.
Then he got
there.
Hurt. Unfortunately, right. You know, you can't.
So you started
plan
the,
for that.
You started the season. We should say, or you start preseason with Julian Edelman, Josh Gordon, Demaryius Thomas, Philip Dorsett. And a first-round pick, N'Keal Harry. And then everybody, there's a lot of good stuff about Jacoby Myers. And then after a couple of weeks, you bring in Antonio Brown. Now, the tight end position is the one that they 100% screwed up. They neglected it too much, and that has come back to bite them. The running back thing, he said they got rid of better ones. Was he want Deion Lewis back from a couple years ago? They used a first-round pick on Michelle. So, again, say what you want about Michelle.
Right.
But that was a pretty significant investment 2 years ago, and a guy who was coming off a really good playoff run, too.
Let's go to John in Peabody. Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Yeah, so I watch the Bruins every night, and I watch the Patriots, right? When I look at Zdeno Chara, the other 42-year-old icon in this town, you know, the Bruins pair their best defenseman, Charlie McAvoy, with them because they have such respect, organizational respect for Chara. But when you look at the Patriots, you know, they did the exact opposite. They're pairing him with rookies. You know, they have a lack of organizational respect for Tom Brady if you compare the two. Even to the point where McAvoy went to the Bruins and said, I think playing with Chara is stunting my growth. Can I play with Brizlick? And it lasted one game before they put him back.
He never said that.
Well, McAvoy went to play with Brizlick for a game.
Yeah, he never said, you're stunting my growth. He never said that.
Well, I mean, that's what, you know, I mean, you can infer that.
No, you can't. He had nothing to do with when they changed it up.
Well, my point is that if you compare the two, there's a pretty big contrast between, I think, the organizational respect that they show Brady over there, you know, versus Chara with the Bruins. So
I don't really get it.
Yeah, I don't get what you're saying.
If
Brady
anything, Chara
with a rookie defenseman.
Chara's got a young guy with him.
Yeah.
No. They pair Chara with their best defenseman to try to bring the 42-year-old up. But the Patriots.
No, that's not what they were doing.
Yeah, I don't get it.
They didn't pair Chara with McAvoy to protect Chara.
They're the two best defensemen they have.
I mean, that's what it looks like they're doing, though,
no,
now.
It really doesn't, John.
It's a lot of inferring going on there. I don't get it. Like, he's putting him with a young guy. I don't know.
And so Brady, it's not like Brady gets paired with a wide receiver.
No.
You have three wide receivers on
and
the field
usually.
And
if you're talking about veterans, you got Edelman. You traded for Mohamed Sanu, longtime
right.
NFL player. Ben Watson couldn't be more veteran. And Philip Dorsett's been in the league for 5 years and on the Patriots for three. I understand so much is made of the young guys. Well, Harry missed half the season. Myers has been kind of in and out of the lineup. So they still do have some guys that have a lot of NFL experience that he's throwing to.
That one baffled me.
He's like,
and he made up that Chara went to them and McAvoy went to them and said, you're stunting my growth. Get me away from this.
I hadn't heard that one.
Because he didn't say it.
Oh, okay.
Actually, the reason that they pulled him away from Chara at one point, and it did last literally like a game, they were trying to get him going.
Get McAvoy going,
who they felt had gotten off to a bit of a slow start, and he probably did.
He did.
So, you know, we'll stick him out with Grizzlick, who he's played with in the past, the collegiate level. We'll get him out there and see if we can get him flying around a little more. And then they said, no, you know what, we'll put him back with Chara. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. What else you got's coming up at 1:45. OMF at the top of the hour. Dale and Keefe in Time to Trend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Now back to Dan and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
So I haven't seen it yet, but I'm now reading from some of the football writers who have seen it. Ian Rappaport tweeted out, just finished watching Belichick and Saban, The Art of Coaching, the new documentary from HBO and NFL Films. Rappaport said, I would set your DVRs for Tuesday at 9 p.m. if I were you. Excellent stuff. Just two dudes talking football, and we all get to nerd out. Mike Garofolo said one of the things that Saban said during the course of this was he's surprised at how few coaches contact him and ask about guys who they may be drafting from Alabama to get his opinion on whether or not the guy's going to be able to play or not.
Oh, interesting. Well, I wonder if a lot of NFL coaches would be a little reluctant, because if you called a college head coach, they just want their guys to get drafted, right? How many of them do you think would be brutally honest? And in fact, if I was a college player, I would hope that my coach would talk me up anyway. Like, if an NFL coach actually called... Now, it's one thing if you're Belichick and Saban, and those guys were on a staff together, they have this long relationship, and, you know, Saban has a million guys in the pros anyway. But would you really be that truthful, or would you just hype up your guy? You know?
Yeah,
like
I mean,
when my high school coach talked to college coaches, he made me out to be like Deion Sanders. And then they saw me, and they're like,
and
oh,
you were.
No. Oh, no. Like, this is a shame.
Garofolo writes, Saban says not enough teams are checking with him before the draft to see which of his guys won't be able to make it. Now, is it that they just assume that he won't tell them that?
Yeah, but I would hope that he wouldn't. Right? Like, do I want that from a college coach? Like, he's going to, it's like, maybe his example would be like Trent Richardson was an example of a guy that he had, the running back who was an absolute bust and was a really high draft pick. Would he have warned the team not to take him? Like, I don't know about that. And,
go ahead.
Do you know for sure? Like, if you're a college coach, there's no way you could predict. I mean, I guess I shouldn't say no way, but do you think every time a guy goes pro, he's like, this guy's going to make it, this guy's not going to make it, this guy's going to make it, this guy's not going to make it? I don't know. I'd be curious to see what his track record would be on that.
My Nesson colleague, Zach Cox from Nesson.com, says, among the topics that Belichick touches on in the course of this,
yeah,
the Miami Miracle. That wasn't very good.
No.
18-1.
Jeez, they just really hit him over the head with
right
the worst
to the bad stuff. Coach life balance.
Okay.
Ineligible receivers.
What?
Being Croatian.
Okay.
Ice picks.
Ooh, from Basic Instinct. That was the murder weapon. Spoiler.
Yeah.
That was the murder weapon.
Respecting Nick Saban.
Oh, God.
Hating social media.
Oh, is he going to do the Insta-face joke again?
I don't know.
I don't know if I can handle that again. It was a good joke, and I actually like callbacks, but it's run its course for me. The snap face.
But I'm really just worried about getting our team ready to go. Not really too worried about what they put on Instant Chat or whatever it is.
Instant Chat.
I loved it for a while. I've soured on that. But no, that will be interesting. The 18-1 and even the Miami Miracle, like, why did you have Rob Gronkowski back there?
If he is honest about it.
Yeah. And... Yeah. But I think that'll be good. Like, you watched obviously the two Bills. 30 for 30 they did with Belichick and Parcells.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's great. Just them just, you know, yapping it up and going back and forth. And these are two guys. I mean, you could make a case Saban, whether you like him or not, is the best college football coach of all time, and that Belichick's the greatest pro football coach of all time. So those two guys sitting
pals.
There. Yeah. And I could see, like, even if you're not a fan of the New England Patriots or Alabama, it still would just be fascinating to see the two talking about what goes into coaching.
It's a good thing that they taped this thing before Alabama fell to 12 in the current college football playoff rankings.
Yeah, a rare year where they're outside the top four.
617-779-7937. Kevin's in Rhode Island. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking. I'm going to touch base pretty much about what's going on with the Patriots, but first I just wanted to touch base on the whole Nick Saban thing. I mean, I've coached youth football now for the past about 5 years.
Nice.
And when you're coaching at that level, you're pretty much hoping you get at least one stud that can pretty much just take over the game and, you know, take control. At that level, you very rarely get studs. Well, what I'm trying to get at with Nick Saban, the guy's a legend. I'm not taking nothing away from him. We all know he's a legend. But in my opinion, he's kind of legend by default, because you got to realize something. I mean, I feel like Chip Kelly, any single one of them guys can go in there and coach that team to a championship. That program is getting every top recruit from every kid in the state. That guy's getting a team of straight 24 studs.
Yeah, because I mean, that's part of college coaching is recruiting. Like, he's recruiting those guys. And, like, same with Dabo Swinney. Dabo Swinney's getting guys left and right, but that's because they've established themselves as this world-beating team. And the guys in Alabama, he's got to go out of state. It's not like, oh, he's just getting Alabama players. You wouldn't be all that great. You got to go to Florida. You got to go to Georgia. You got to go to Texas. You got to go to all California. So part of being a great college coach, though, I mean, the winning is off the charts. I don't know if any other coach would just plop in there and do that.
I mean, yeah, that's a matter of an opinion. I mean, that's just my opinion if it's right or wrong. But I feel like when you get a team of all the studs, he doesn't get every stud, but every kid wants to go to Alabama. I mean, that's every kid's dream. So, I mean, okay. Yeah, he's going to do the recruiting scheme, but he goes in there, hey, buddy, we're going to give you this, that. He greases them up, the whole nine. Then, boom, he's getting every kid. That makes your job a lot easier. I mean, that's definitely
Dabo Swinney's getting most of the kids he wants. And I mean, you can run through the list. I mean, yes, the top programs are selector schools. They're not even recruiting schools. They're selector schools. I want you, I want you, I want you.
Right.
And they get them.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, but Saban also brought that team back to being something, right? Like, there's ebbs and flows for these top teams. Like, at one point, when Pete Carroll was at Southern Cal, they were a wagon.
Right.
And they also, that's because they got great players. All right.
And it turned out they might have cheated a little bit, you know.
They all do. But when he left, how great were they?
Not so great.
So when Nick Saban took over, the 2 years, let's see, Mike Shula was the head coach. The last year Mike Shula was there, Alabama went 6-7. In 2006, they went 6-7. There, 2003, they were 4-9. Right? So Nick Saban, who was great at LSU as well,
yep.
He shows up. He has his first year there, he's 7-6. And then the next year going forward, he's winning double-digit games every year, going to the Sugar Bowl, the title game, everything else. He's won way too much to say he just gets players, because there's more than one school that gets players. Ohio State gets whoever they want.
Urban Meyer gets who
Clemson gets who they want.
He is a selector.
Yeah.
I'll take you. I'll take you. I'll take you.
But then you still have to coach him up. You know, I mean, I don't know. It is different. It's different than the pros, obviously, with how you get your guys. But it's like John Calipari. Is John Calipari a great coach? Hard to say. I know he's a great recruiter, and that's a big part of college coaching. Like, if you're not a good recruiter, then I don't care.
The major programs get to the point where they don't really have to recruit. You know, you're trying to go to them. You know, especially if you live in Ohio and you're a great football player,
yeah,
man, you're banging down Urban Meyer's door. You know, when the offensive line coach comes to visit with mom and dad, they've got their garnet and gray on when they show up.
Yeah, but I bet there's plenty of guys that Saban had to go into their house and had to go get. But even if you want to say they're one of those programs, it's because he's there. Again, do you think when Mike Shula was the coach that they got every player that they wanted? They got guys wanted to go there, but did they get all the five-star recruits? Clearly not. Look at the records. So when Saban got there, maybe it's more turnkey now than it was, but he had to establish that program as being, like, it was a long time between Bear Bryant and Nick Saban. So they had some up and down seasons in between those two guys.
Mike's in Wakefield. Hey, Mike.
Damn, man. What it is.
Hey, Mike.
So, Keith, by the way, great, great Dork podcast on the movies. I totally disagree with Ryan Davey.
Yes.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood should be much higher on your list.
I agree.
So, yeah. Okay, now, I hate to pour cold water on your whole let's go for two every time with the Patriots. Correct me if I'm wrong, but don't you need to actually convert a couple of third downs? You know, are we going to go four and out every time? Because, I mean, we're not getting the production from offense. How do you expect to even get to the end zone to avoid kicking field goals?
No, I know. That's why they're obviously going to have to sign a kicker. And even if it's just 30-yard field goals, unfortunately, that was their offense for a couple of weeks. That's what they're going to have to do. So I'm hoping it's Nick Folk. Because Nick Folk, actually, I thought was pretty solid. And then he has to get his appendix taken out.
I mean, I haven't had to have my appendix out, so I'm probably not the one to answer this, but I'll at least ask.
You can take a shot at it.
Isn't the recovery time longer than... Basically, you miss a week of work.
No,
if you're an NFL player. Now, I know.
Yeah.
Some people would say, and kickers are not NFL players. I understand.
They're really
that.
Not. But
But there's a lot of torque in that lower half, right?
Right. And you're missing a piece that you used to have in there.
Yeah.
I don't really know how it all works. I'm sure we have some experts on the text line that can let us know about appendix and how soon they were able to bounce back. Shime, you got your appendix in there still swimming around?
Sure do.
Okay.
Oh, you're not going to help us any.
Do you want to do us a favor?
Could you get yours removed?
Get it removed, and then we can time to see how long it takes you to be back to 100%.
Okay, perfect. Cool. Show content. I can do that.
So 3:30 today, if you don't mind, scheduling an appointment to get that.
Yeah, I'll call the hospital right now. They'll get me a room booked, ready to go.
Speaking of Shime, Dale, I was walking down the hallway to fill up my water. I'm trying to hydrate. I'm trying to drink 300 ounces
of
water a day.
Tom Brady would be so proud.
Yeah. I read a thing the other day that was like, you should have an ounce of water for every pound that you are during the day. So I'm like, I should have 200 ounces of water. I would drown myself.
That would seems a lot.
That seems way too much. Yeah. But
200 ounces of a fine craft beer.
Now we're talking.
Now, maybe.
You're speaking my language. But I overheard Shime. I believe he might have a pick, an early pick here for the Thursday night game. Shime, is that true?
I sure do. I was actually really giddy about this pick earlier.
Oh, giddy
That's
about
kinda
the
why
pick.
Oh, Keith caught on.
It's a week 14. We're starting week 14. Where does the time go? Cowboys and Bears tonight. Now, don't worry. Shime will have three picks for tomorrow, as he does on all the Friday
Thank
editions
God.
Of the show. This is sort of a little bonus pick, though, for us.
It sure is. I've done really well when you've come to me.
Yeah.
Primetime games.
Yeah.
Mondays and Thursdays. I am 5-1 on the season.
5-1, Dale, on primetime. That number doesn't lie.
So
I find that gamblers generally lie.
Well, not Shime, though. Shime is trustworthy.
Okay. And my record on this show, which I have recorded, I've gone back through the tapes.
He went through the
27
tapes.
27-21. I've had a couple really strong weeks
Attaboy.
To separate myself.
If you stayed away from the parlays, you'd be even better.
I would. Actually, Dale, that's 100% accurate.
That's true. You're not going to parlay the game in the over.
Absolutely
under,
not. Okay, I got one pick for you.
One pick.
So this is it. So this pick is actually a very special pick. This is the Shime Revenge Tour.
The Revenge Tour starts now.
This is a revenge tour because I told myself.
They just whipped up some production here, Dale. You hear that?
Nice.
I told myself I'd never pick this team again.
Right.
And here I am. I'm going to pick this team again.
Oh, no.
Because it's time they whip it into shape.
Oh, the whip it into shape pick.
It is, in fact, the time to whip it into shape. This team has not beaten a team with a winning record all year. But good for them. They're facing a team that's 500 tonight.
Not a winning record.
And we all know. The Clapper always wins a couple games to keep himself in the good graces of Jerry Jones.
Easy.
Give me the Cowboys laying 3 tonight
Cowboys.
In Chicago.
Ow! That is a road favorite you're going with. So you
I
don't
sure
like
am.
The home dog barking loud. You
no,
like
not-
the road favorite, the Dallas Cowboys. Both teams are 6-6. Both teams also have the... Both teams have been off for a week, right? Because the Cowboys
Correct.
Played.
They both played on Thanksgiving.
That's right.
So now they're playing again Thursday night, primetime football. I'm really feeling the Cowboys here.
Cowboys.
Dak has actually been surprisingly good in primetime games.
Can I point out to you, you've hated
years.
The Cowboys in the past.
He did. That's why it's the revenge tour.
I know.
Exactly. It's the revenge tour.
Whose revenge is it?
It's Shime's revenge.
It's the whip it into shape revenge tour.
And I also... hate Mitch Trash Biscuit.
Oh, God.
So here we are.
Smoke
this
them.
Is an anti-Trubisky take. Give me the Cowboys laying 3 tonight.
There you go, folks. There's your pick. Lock that in. I'm going to put maybe 200 Rapples on the game tonight. I love it.
Couple Rapples are already on the game tonight, so we're good to go.
Oh, is that right? You already Absolutely. Got in with a bag of Bobbish.
Sure did.
Good for you.
What else you got's coming up next? Sports Radio WEEI.
That was an ass whooping.
Now back to Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, let's get to a couple of things that we didn't get to earlier in the program.
What else you got?
And frankly, Rich, I'm sick and tired of you just going to the same well all the time because you love this guy so much, you want to play him all the time.
No, you're confusing love with hate.
Oh, is that
strong,
what it is?
Strong, strong hate,
okay,
Dale.
Yeah.
That's the difference. This has been making the rounds. So even if you weren't locked in on Lakers Jazz last night, Lakers got another win, unfortunately. They are now 19-3. They are an absolute wagon.
They
but
are really good.
All of a sudden.
Clippers are really good, too.
During the game, yeah, they are. During the game, LeBron James has the ball. He is walking the ball over half court. And when I say walking the ball,
no,
I mean
I've seen the video.
The ball.
It's a little perplexing what he's thinking.
So he's dribbling the ball like a basketball player would do. He then just picks it up and walks like 3 or 4 feet
He is, first of all, he's LeBron James. He's in the center of the court, and he has the ball. And three
chances
refs.
Chances are somebody's going to see him.
Three refs missed it. The guy defending him, I forget who it was, he was like, you know, 5 feet off him because he's at half court. But he just puts his hands in there. He's like, looking around. He's like, are you kidding me? Like, you're going to let this guy do this? The answer is yes. It's LeBron James. So they let him do whatever he wants. And he was asked about it in the postgame.
Yeah, it was the worst thing I ever, probably one of the worst things I've ever done in my career. I didn't even realize I did it until halftime, to be honest. One of my coaches showed me. I didn't even realize I did it. I think at the same time, I was watching the underneath play, and KCP and Donovan got into it. KCP started to run, and then Donovan bumped into him. He fell on the ground. I think I was ready to pass the ball, and my brain just kind of just, I just had a malfunction. I really had a malfunction. So, you know, I felt bad for the refs on that one because, you know, they probably get a write-up on that one. That was pretty bad.
No, you're going to write up. Who are those idiots laughing in front of him? Oh, LeBron, you're so funny. What, that was awful. It also reminds
me. It was
me
a little weird.
It was so weird, and how it didn't get called. That happened, and I think it did get called. Remember a couple of years ago, Russell Westbrook was in the backcourt, and he just walked like half the court with it. Like, he put it under his arm and just started walking.
We've had a couple this year of guys just stepping from out of bounds.
Out of bounds,
into
inbounds.
Inbounds.
What are you doing?
Here we go.
And you know what it must be is in practice when they're just like, all right, come down this end, and they just like walk it, and they just like have like a complete brain fart or whatever. But to see LeBron do it.
Because it was obvious when you watched him, he wasn't trying to gain any advantage.
No, there was no advantage to have.
No, he was just bringing the ball slowly up the court, and he just
drove me
vapor
nuts.
Locked.
Let it
a chance for you to mock LeBron. LeBron James is not to be passed up.
No, it's not.
What else you got?
So the longest tenured defensive coach on Bill Belichick's staff, defensive coach on his staff, is his son Steve Belichick, who we think is kind of the de facto defensive coordinator. There have been thoughts about whether he or Gerard Mayo are calling the defensive plays, but we think it's Steve Belichick. But when you hear them speak, it's hard to tell who is who. So Tucker Boynton did a little mashup.
Oh, boy.
And he's got Steve Belichick and Bill Belichick, you just have to figure out who's who.
I don't know. I haven't really thought about how it correlates. Just, yeah, I don't know. It's pretty good. I mean, had a great year last year. Just trying to do my thing, and I think that that's what's best, so that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very instinctive player. He just recognizes things and, you know, pulls the trigger and reacts to it quickly. And,
yeah, I got a couple memories of this.
And you want to share?
Those are between me and him. Yeah,
you gotta kind of be careful with him. See, you can anticipate things, and
I've been watching it for a while. Like I said, football is my thing.
You know, he's got good quickness, good ball skills. He's a good athlete, so he can.
I remember watching Prime Time with Chris Berman back when I lived in Cleveland, and
on the field, he's an outstanding player. I mean, he makes plays where a few other players in the league can make it his position.
I mean, I just wanted to spend time around football, spend time around my dad.
Yeah, I like football. I like football season, all the things that go with it.
It's weird.
Maybe he'll just be the next head coach of the Patriots, and it'll be like a real
slide him right in. No one will be able to tell the difference.
Coach Belichick,
shave the beard, and
do you think he also will refuse to be in the Madden video game?
He might do that. One other quick tidbit. Apparently, Willie McGinest was on an NFL podcast, and they asked him about the Brady to the Chargers conspiracy theory, which he basically torched.
Oh, he did.
But at the end of it,
oh no,
he dropped a tidbit.
Tidbit.
He says Giselle is not a fan of the West Coast.
Really?
Now, Willie would be in a position to know more than us.
Yeah.
But according to Willie, at the end of this podcast thing that he did, where he basically debunked the whole Brady to the Chargers.
Does Giselle like Miami or Nashville?
I don't know.
She might.
But according to Willie, not a fan of the West Coast. Stuff to worry about.
All right. Add it to the pile.
We got to get out of here. OMF is coming up next. We'll see you guys later. Bye. Read this first, Dale. If you missed any of today's show, remember, like, the part where I missed when I was supposed to read this, remember you can listen to the entire program on the radio.com app using the Rewind feature. Text APP to 37937 to download. Standard message and data rates may apply.
That's all, folks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.